We go. All right. So as always, you know, whenever I do this, as a note to myself and anybody else ever does webinars, seminars, always put up a thing with your contact info. Oops. With your contact info, NFNLP. Looks like my drwillhorton.com is being launched. I think it goes live today on the new site. It's still being worked on, but check that out. And again, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, of course, Facebook, where most people know me. And I always say the only easy day was yesterday. So let's get to work. As I always start with a review, what have I learned about success in the last week? Maybe about yourself. How can you apply the information? Are you discovering any more blocks that you might have? Can I alter my self-image to fit with what I want? What is my new self-image? What can I learn new today? That's what we'll be talking about today. How can I grow today? What can I do different today? And how can I add to my self-worth? You know? And what do I really want when we do this? This was about success, started with the Butterfly Project, morphed into the success thing. That'll probably go one or two more weeks and then wrap it up. And then I'm still going to keep doing stuff on Saturdays because it seems to be a good day. So we'll do that like on Wednesdays. For those that don't know, I do the NFNLP forum. That's usually more clinically oriented or things like that. So I'm still kind of thinking this out. So we'll have some fun with it. Takeaway from last week was the magic mirror technique, which is everything's a snapshot in time. And we're going to do this again at the end as a technique, but it's about switching your beliefs, your attitudes in a different way. So today we're going to start with what I call the prosperity shock treatment. And as my dear friend, Dr. Joe Vitale, whom I actually hung out with a little bit. He used to teach at the National Guild of Hypnotists. I don't think anybody in the call can remember that, but it was before The Secret. He used to go there every year for several years. He had a booth. And at the Guild, he mostly taught hypnotic writing, things like that. But anyway, he says, money doesn't have any beliefs about you. You have beliefs about money. And you could add in success with the same thing. So you don't have beliefs about money and success, it doesn't have any about you. You have it about it. And once you know your beliefs are limiting your spiritual awakening to become who and what you want to be, then you are free to attract the success or money, to use success or money, appreciate your success or money, and to fulfill whatever your soul's purpose is with money or success. I think that's from Money Love Speed. There was a lady, or a person, and they said Brown Landone, and he said that abundance, getting abundance, is a result of attaining the kingdom of heaven, and that each soul's kingdom of heaven is within, which, like the Bible says, the Old Testament, the New Testament, you know, it's kind of in the Quran, it's in a lot of things, in the teachings of Buddha, India. But one thing to think about, if you lose hope, it leads to lack of daring, right? And we need to be daring if we're going to accomplish what we want. And then there was a lady, Elise Lincoln Benedict, she wrote a couple books on success back in the 1920s. I think I mentioned her before. She was the biggest motivational speaker in the early 1920s, you know, and it was kind of wild. But she said that our supreme subconscious wish is never for any specific thing or person, but for a condition, an avenue of self-expression, right? So if your supreme subconscious wish, which dictates your life, it permits nothing seriously to interfere with it. So if you have a low self-worth and don't believe you should be successful, and you start getting success, that's when you'll sabotage it. Because this thing underneath it, your supreme subconscious wish, as she called it, is automatic and implacable. So it's going to be there, you know, and what you want most of all, subconsciously, will be as a condition for your life, you'll end up getting it, right? And so it could be set in childhood or even before, okay? So what can we do? This whole thing is about your self-image and all this stuff to help you become successful. That's why we're doing it. And it's, if it was set in childhood or before, or you're not consciously aware of it, one of the bad things about a subconscious block is we all know, people here on this call that are hypnotists and helpers, or even those don't have to be, but kind of understand, if it's subconscious, you don't know it consciously. And you'll only see remnants of it when, why did I do that? Why did I miss that? Why did I, you know, whatever it was, right? So maybe you need to shock it awake. That's what we're calling part of the day is a shock system, a shock, right? So dare something worthy is what I'm calling it. Consider what you really want to buy for yourself or someone else, right? But think about what you want. Something that represents success, but you're afraid to do so. And if the money's there or you can somehow get it, go and buy it, especially for yourself, you know? And again, if the money's there and you really want something, buy it, right? Because that begins to teach yourself you are worth it, right? It's easier, is it easier for you to buy for someone else? Many of us have that, but you don't want to do it for yourself. But the question I usually ask is, do you think the super successful get what they want? They want something and they can afford it at that moment, do they go buy it, right? And again, a lot of this is about faith, but doing it. Because I always say it's the myth of later, you know, or that I've heard people post, live like you're poor, right? But I heard someone else said, if you're going to live like you're poor when you're really rich, why do you want to get rich, right? And whenever I hear someone quote that about, well, the way to get rich is live like you're poor and do this. And I go, have you ever been on like the Miracle Mile in Chicago or... oh, what's the one in New York City? You know, the Upper East, wherever the fancy area is. I always think when I lived on the other coast of Florida, we have it here. But they called it the Millionaire Mile. And it was a mile of the cheapest house on there. It was like 40 million bucks. And it was all on the water with, you know, it was beautiful, right? And in fact, for a while, they had the most expensive real estate in the country. It was a house on 2 acres on the ocean. And on the other side of the street, there was the bay, and it had a big bay front, right? It was like $175 million, right? So maybe this whole myth of later, live like you're poor, right, is, I can understand it somewhat, but is it really true? When you see the rich or royalty or things like that, do they live that way, right? And so what we want to do is today, I want you to think about what can you do to shock your system? What can you get yourself? What can you do for yourself, right? That brings your soul alive. Or what to you represents being successful? You know, it's like that comic I heard, I think it was Jeff Foxworthy or one of the others go, they knew they made it when for the first time they were driving around a neighborhood and somebody put out furniture, you know, by the curb to be thrown away, and they didn't stop and look and go, you know, there's nothing wrong with that sofa, and, you know, because they've been poor their whole life, and, you know, so they had to start thinking rich. That's what this is all about, which leads us to one of my favorite topics called tithing, and a lot of this comes from Neville Goddard, and I can actually tell you the book I would suggest everyone get or read. At Your Command by Neville Goddard. Short book. I have it on Audible. I listen to it a lot. And there's another book he has on tithing. But what if the idea of tithing is one of the most misunderstood concepts that we have, right? About give 10%, right? Because it leads me to wonder, does God need your money? You know, if he can make this, the heaven and the earth and the death, if you believe in that, right? What does he need your money for? You know, there was a Star Trek movie. I love the line where there was a fake God and he wanted the starship. And Captain Kirk said to him, what does God need with a starship, right? And is that used for other purposes? But if the kingdom of heaven is within, so then what really may be a different way to look at it, what is tithing? Right? If the kingdom of heaven was in, which is in almost all the spiritual texts in some words, right? So what if the entire concept is this tenth tithing, which means tenth part, to give yourself tenth part. What if the entire concept is to give to your inner self, to live in the solution for a period of time. You know, the Bible says, ask and believe and you'll have it, right? To pray for something. But then what if the real thing about tithing is to do that and then pray and meditate on it, but live as if you're in it for a period of time, right? What if that's what it's really all about? And like a lot of things through history, it gets misunderstood. It gets misquoted. It gets used for ulterior motives. Not that we're not seeing that right now in the current things going on in the world. So it's all about salvation. So what is your salvation? You know, and they talk about your soul, but where are you at right now? What's your salvation? If you're poor, it's prosperity. If you're sick, it's health. If you're alone, it's another person or a relationship, because your salvation is the solution to your problem right now. And if this is true, and you can live as if you've already done it, which is what we've, you know, the secret and everything, a lot of the metaphysical things talk about, but what if that's the misunderstood part, right? And then you can link it back to the spiritual thought of, I have ways you know not of, you know, what I do is beyond your understanding. I don't know the exact quotes. But what if your salvation, if you're living in the solution, like I've already accomplished my success, my prosperity, whatever it is, so you're feeling it, right? And then what if it will come at you in mysterious ways? You know, I do that thing on the miracle process, right? And those of us that experience miracles in our lives, once we have it, how many times after you've accomplished, something's happened that you would say is miraculous, and then you look back on it, one of your first responses, I don't know how that happened. I honestly don't know how that happened. But you met the right person at the right time who maybe introduced you to somebody or da-da-da-da-da. Or, you know, I usually didn't buy that newspaper. Someone just told me this one. I usually didn't buy that. This was from a long time ago when people read newspapers. So I'm dating myself here. But, you know, they go, I usually didn't buy that newspaper. But for some reason, it was there. He was getting a cup of coffee at a Dunkin' Donuts, and there was the copy of that paper. And he was looking for a job because he was out of work. So salvation would be a job. And he prayed on it. He imagined having a really great job. And for some reason, getting his cup of coffee. And then he picks up this newspaper that he usually didn't read. He lived in the Chicago area, but it was a different newspaper. And there was a want ad, for a job that kind of fit what he wanted. And he called it up. And he goes, you know, basically by the end of the phone call, they were already offering him the job. And then they said, well, he's still got to come in. And so, you know, that afternoon he drove over there, and it was for a professional job. He goes, but I don't have my suit on. Let me go home and clean up. And they go, that's okay. We understand that you're out doing whatever you're doing. So he shows up, you know, jeans and a shirt. At least, as he said, I at least had a nice shirt in the car. Put that on. Met with the vice president of sales and walks around as a district sales manager for this company, right? Right place, right time, picks up the paper. So I have ways you know not of, right? But he did the prayer and the meditation, lived as if he had it. Like, yes, I know I'll get this perfect, whatever it was, right? I'll post the miracle process later. So if this is true, so wherever you're stuck now, what's your salvation, which is the solution to whatever problem that you currently have, right? And so then it leads into, what is sin? Well, sin, technical term, is missing the mark. So maybe the original sin is when you miss the mark of living in the solution and fall back into focusing on the problem, right? And if the answer is living in the solution and acting as if it's real, and then you fall back into the problem, maybe that's the original sin, missing the mark, focusing on the problem. And I talk a lot about Daniel and lion's den. It's one of the parables from the Bible I love. And when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den as a test of faith, there's two hungry lions. So all he can see is the lions. So if you're broke, you see your bills. If you're, you know, you're sick, you see the illness, whatever it is. Well, what Daniel did is he turned from the lions, turned up. There was, according to the story I read, then there was a light, and he turned to the light and he said a prayer, right? And what happened, supposedly the lions behind him laid down and went to sleep. It's not that the problems went away. He wasn't focusing on them. So he wasn't poking them with a stick, as they say, right? So he looked at whatever the solution was. And the next thing you know, he was free, right? So maybe that's what we need to do. And maybe that is this giving, which is giving to yourself. How will you treat yourself? You always talk about the golden rule, treat others as you wish to be treated. But then how do you treat yourself? That's the magic. Maybe that's one of the magic things. Do you treat yourself well? Right? Do you give to yourself? Because many of us are taught it's selfish to be good to yourself, to treat yourself. Many of us are taught in a lot of religion, you don't pray for things, right? Even though it doesn't say that anywhere, it, from what I understand, it doesn't explicitly say it, you know? So somehow it's selfish if you pray for things or certain outcomes, right? And how many of us somehow get pushed on the idea that your reward is in the afterlife, right? Okay, but what about now, right? You know, and again, as I said before, maybe this is the myth of living poor to be rich, you know, because I always default to how do royalty and the rich or successful live? They live like they're royalty. They live like they're rich, right? Maybe that's what we have to do. First of all, give to yourself, right? And again, sometimes it's, and you can tell it's happening, excuse me, to you if it's easier you to give other people things. Can you be good to yourself? Can you buy yourself what you really want? Especially if you can afford it. Have you ever like not bought something that you really wanted and look at it and go, why the hell did I do that? I could have bought it, but I didn't, right? So what do you want? And that's how we kind of started this whole process. Think about what you want. We call it success. It could be money or health or wealth or fame, whatever it is. So what do you want, right? And again, Shakespeare quote, which he got from the Bible, things are neither good but bad or bad, but thinking makes it so, right? Whether it's success or money or wealth, health, fame, your relationships, whatever it is, what do you want, right? And ask for it. And then do the things you need to do to get it, right? And I'm going to kind of, today's a short one, but I want you to think about some mottos, right? One of my favorite is go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated, you know? And begin to think of yourself as the son or daughter of royalty, you know? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Which we hear a lot, the kingdom of heaven's within and it's at hand. Well, you know, if God came here to give you abundance and to give it to whatever that thing is, to give it to you, right? Take it. And always remember, I was on a set. And kidding around, and I asked the director something. And he went, he looked at me and tilted his head, and he goes, no. But if you don't ask, the answer is always no. And he goes, at least you asked. And I'm like, well, that was kind of interesting. You know, I forgot what that was I asked. But it stuck with me. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. What if you ask, and they say, sure, why not, right? And what can I do to reward myself or to live rich today, right? So that's kind of today's thing. And let's close with another magic mirror. So if you can imagine again that you look at yourself in the mirror today, however you're dressed today, whatever you're doing today, right? You see yourself as you are. It's a snapshot in time, nothing more, nothing less, right? But you're not who you were last week when we did this call. When we did the call. No, if you were here, you were different. You've changed. You have a week's difference. So you have a week's past behind you. So again, if you see yourself as you are today, and it's ever changing, and if you look into your eyes right now, if you can imagine looking into your eyes, you see the longing for even more change. And as you look in the mirror, it's like you can see behind you because the mirror lets you see behind you. And you can see back to who you were last week and all the changes that you're beginning to make, right? And you can see back there, you're already beginning to let go of some beliefs, but maybe there's some stubborn beliefs we got to let go of, right? And so as you see all that, imagine you look into your eyes again, into your very soul, and then you can see through the mirror until you who you want to be. And this new you has different beliefs and attitudes. That new you is totally worthy of success. That new you is a son or daughter of royalty. And you claim your kingdom. And if you have that mastermind group that we've talked about, you know, the group of successful people that is your mastermind or your buddy group, they're encouraging you onward. And as you do, you look at the only thing stopping you from getting to this new you with different attitudes, values, beliefs, feeling like the son or daughter of royalty, accepting the kingdom of heaven is at hand and you're seizing it, is the veil of illusion, which is right in front of us. So if you shatter that mirror and you begin to see yourself as this new person, as this new, I call it spiritual millionaire, and maybe you just haven't got the $1 million in the bank yet, but it's on its way. Good. So take a deep breath. Good. Open your eyes. All right. All right. So that is today's quick lesson, if you will. Let me stop the recording. All right.